We're going to continue our series this morning, Run the Race. So if you were here last week, we began a brand new series. And what does it look like to run the race? And so my wife talked about one way that we can do this is if we reflect back on those who have gone before us. How many of you guys know that there are people in the Bible? The Bible is filled with stories of people who made it. People who made it out. They experienced similar tribulations and similar experiences that you and I experienced, but they made it. They made it to the end. And the book of Hebrews would call this a cloud of witnesses. And so we want to take the scripture just a little bit further this morning. And look at that, the same verse, but the second part of that verse. We're going to read it again, being that this is our scripture for the week, the month rather. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which so clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Amen. So what a scripture to hold on to. How many of you guys have been feeling weary? You're feeling faint-hearted sometimes, right? You feel like throwing in the towel. You feel like giving up the race. And so we're going to focus on the book of Hebrews, and hopefully that will encourage you to continue in your race. Now, how many of you guys ever ran a race before? Or you walked a race? You crawled the race? Whatever it is that you did, you got into a race. And how many of you guys know that you don't go to a race dressed in a trench coat with work boots on, with, you know, just wrapped in a scarf and all this craziness, right? But no, whenever you run the race, you want to take off every weight that is possible. You want to get down, you want to get your clothing as light as possible so you can run with endurance. And so that's what we want to talk about today, casting aside those weights and casting aside those sins this morning. And so the verse that we want to, the phrase that we want to look at, it's, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." And so we got a bad hum, a ring. There we go. We could take some of the effects off. That might work. The first part of this is "let us." Now, who's the us that we're talking about? Of course, it is addressed to the Hebrews, to the descendants of Abraham. And so these are the believers. But during this time, there was still like Jewish influence, where the Jews were still trying to get converts to Christianity to conform to the Jewish traditions. They were still trying to make them be Jewish as well as be Christian. But how many guys know that if you're saved, salvation equals Jesus plus nothing? Amen. All you need is Jesus. All you need is the blood of Jesus. But yet there was such a Jewish influence in this culture, and so thus we find a need for the book of Hebrews. And so part of the us is the Hebrews, the descendants of Abraham. And then finally, we can't exclude us from being part of the us, right? We all are find ourselves in this scripture, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us," as the King James would read. And so Paul, what might be some things that Paul would have to lay aside? If he's experienced quite a few things in his life, and if anyone knew the cost or the importance of laying down those weights, it was Paul. I mean, the man was, he was not only arrested several times for preaching the gospel, but in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter, excuse me as I flip over there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he begins to tell us of all those things that he endured for the cause of Christ. He says this, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one." Do we have any people like that? I mean, like, if my wife's like this, and she's very competitive. If you're a Catan player, I'm a better Catan player than you. If you're a Christian, I'm going to be a better Christian than you. That's just how she rolls. And so Paul's like, "I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments." So he was imprisoned with countless beatings and often near death. "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one." So the rule was they couldn't get beaten more than 39 times, but it says that five times that Paul was beaten 39 times for the sake of the gospel, for preaching Jesus. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, not with marijuana, but with real stones. Three times I was shipwrecked a night and a day, and I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. So imagine being cold. Imagine being on the boat who is freezing cold. You don't have nothing to eat. You feel like you're about to die. Paul experienced it all. And apart from other things, this is probably the biggest weight on his shoulders. There is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. If you experience anxiety, Paul experienced anxiety to a greater level. You felt like giving up in the faith, Paul had even the more reason to give up in the faith. You felt fearful, guess what? Paul was fearful, and he experienced what that is like. In fact, in the very next verse, he begins to tell us how he felt because of all these things. He says, who is weak? And am I not weak? And who is made to fall? And am I not indignant? In other words, you think you have a reason, you know, to feel like giving up. You think you have a reason for your faith failing. I have a greater reason for my faith failing. The temptation is greater for me. You think you have a reason to be angry. I have an even greater reason to be angry. But Paul would say, even after enduring all those things, that he would write in the book of Hebrews how important it is to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us. How many guys are holding on to some weights? How many guys know that it's hard to run if you're holding on to weights? Amen. I mean, I didn't bring my weights that I wanted to bring, but this is going to work. We'll improvise for a second. So I have this handy-dandy little podium that probably weighs close to 75 pounds.
All right, so imagine you want to be carrying around these weights, how hard this is. I haven't got to do it for a little while, but I guarantee you, if I was to try to do this the entire time I was preaching, I would get tired. In fact, my arms are starting to feel it already. This is pretty heavy. But how many guys are just carrying weights that are just weighing you down and stopping you from fulfilling the purposes that God would have for your life? Whether that weight be, you know, the feelings of an abuse, or the feelings of a relationship, but whatever weight is holding you down is preventing you, and you carry this weight and you can't move as freely as you can if those weights were cast off. Like the Apostle Paul begins to say, oh man, I feel so much freer.
I feel like I can actually preach this message now because I was getting pretty heavy. But we carry these weights with us. We carry whatever that is, that weight of maybe, you know, you sinned as a Christian before and you don't feel that you can forgive yourself. You're carrying around that shame. You know, whatever weight that you're carrying, Paul would say, hey, look, I've been there. I've experienced some things. I've been shipwrecked and beaten for the cause of Christ. You cast off that weight and you cast off that sin and you finish the race. Let us also lay aside every weight. So to lay aside is to put off from oneself. Weights, of course, are burdens or weights or encumbrances. The thing about this is the reason that you are to do this is that God is not finished with you yet, that God has a plan and a purpose for you, and he is not complete the plans and purposes for you just yet. I mean, you're still breathing. How many guys are still breathing in this place? And how many guys have felt like giving up, but you're still here? Amen. And so God is not finished with you yet. There is still a race to run. Now, I like what Lecrae says in one of his songs. He's a Christian rapper. Yes, there is a such thing as Christian rap. And so he says in one song, he says, I got songs I ain't made yet. I got foes I ain't faced yet. I got hands I ain't shaked yet. I got plans I ain't made yet. In other words, he's looking at his race. He said, you know what? There's still things ahead of my life that I got to do. There's still people I want to meet. There's still things that there are people I got to reach. There's still people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I would say that the gospel has not been quieted yet. The immoral has not repented yet. The offended has not forgiven yet. Your family isn't saved yet. The addict is not free yet. The hurting have not been relieved yet. The hungry have not been fed yet. The orphans are not fathered yet. The marriage has not been restored yet. Jesus has not come yet. So therefore, there is still work to be done as the church of the living God. There are still things that we need to be doing, right? And so in order to do that, we need to finish the race. And in order to finish the race, we got to lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us. Now, the second part of this is the sin, dealing with the sin. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. How many guys know that sin is near? It clings to you. Like you overcome it, but yet it's still holding on to your leg. It's still wrapping around you tight like a shirt, waiting for that opportunity to strike, right? And you know what sins beset you. You know what sins easily trip you up. It's because, hey, look, we are running this race, and we are trying to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord, while at the same time, Satan is trying to destroy your life because you look like an image bearer of Christ, and so he's wanting to disrupt that. And so there are different sins, right? There are two different sins. There's the sin of omission, which are things that you should do, but you don't do. Well, it might be some of those things, you know, like reading the Word, spending time in prayer, loving your family, loving your wife, you know, honoring your husband, all these things that you should be doing, right, but you don't do, and that would be the sin of omission. But the sin of commission are things that you should not do, and we all know those. Don't steal, don't kill, don't destroy, and those things. And so the sins of omission, but the sins of commission as well. Now, I like what the way the King James Version words it. Instead of saying which clings so closely, it says the sin which doth so easily beset us. All right? I know it sounds weird, but that word beset, it really means skillfully surrounding. In other words, the devil is crafty, and he knows what it is that will trip you up, and he knows what it is that will trip you up. And so he skillfully surrounds you. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." And so it might appear to be something good, but it's really not. As it was with the case of Adam and Eve, Satan tempts them, says, "Look at this. This will make you like God." But what he failed to say is that it also bring about death, all right? So it was some truth, right? And so he will use truth and twist truth, but ultimately his plan is to devour your life and to steal from your life and to kill your faith. He disguises himself as an angel of light. Excuse me. So many people fall victim to Satan's skillfully woven tactics, amen? And so last week we mentioned the heroes of the faith. And we study in the Bible, and we're looking at the heroes of the faith, and we're looking at them, we're looking at their examples. Hey, I can make it because of them. But now we look at the zeros of the faith, all right? If you study the Bible, there's also zeros of the faith. We would have to admit this. And so if we look at Lot's wife, for example, you look at Lot's wife. You know, whenever God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, God sent an angel, first of all, to take out Lot and to remove Lot and his entire family from Sodom and Gomorrah because God's wrath was burning hot against it because of their sin, and God was about to destroy it. But as an act of mercy, he spares Lot and he spares his family, and he tells them one thing: do not look back. Don't look back. That's all you have to do. Run to a safe place, but don't look back. Guess what happens? His wife looks back, all right? And immediately, she became a pillar of salt. So she was prevented from running or finishing the race that was set before her because of her sin. Let's look at a couple of other examples. Look at Pharaoh. How God told him 10 times to let my people go so that they may worship me. And he refuses each and every time. And every time that he refuses, God sends a plague. It wasn't until the 10th plague that Pharaoh says, finally, I give up. All right, you can go. Take your people out and go worship the Lord as you will. And as soon as they left, He regrets that decision. And so he begins to pursue after the Israelites with his army, with his Egyptian army. And God calls the Red Sea to split open so that the Israelites can walk on dry ground. And as the Egyptian army is following them, God consumes them and drowns them. So Pharaoh is also prevented from finishing his race. And you look at Achan. Now, who is Achan? After this great crossing of the Red Sea, God brings them to the place, the promised land, on the outside of it. And the very first place that they were to conquer was Jericho. And God tells me a specific thing. He says, don't touch anything. Don't take anything. None of the spoil is yours. It's all for me. Everything is to be burned or consumed with fire. What does Achan do? He gets a little greedy, and he takes some stuff for himself, and he hides it in his tent, and God's anger burned against Israel. And in the very next battle that they were trying to fight, A little old country named Ai. I mean, they could have easily defeated, but because of Achan's sin, they were prevented from defeating that particular country, that particular region. Not only that, we also learned in the scriptures that Achan's race was also prevented. He was prevented from finishing his race, as he and his entire family and everything that he owned was stoned to death and then burned with fire. They were prevented from finishing the race because of their sin. Now I want to look at one more. His name is Samson. I mean, I know we labeled him a hero last week, and he ended up as a hero. But before he was a hero, he was a zero. Because he was a Nazirite, and by being a Nazirite, he had three things that he had to do to be a Nazirite. He could not touch any unclean thing, he could not drink any alcohol, and he was not to cut his hair. Guess what? On all three offenses, on all three levels, he breaks this Nazirite vow. And besides this, he has promiscuous women involved in his life, which not only stopped his forward progress in his race, but ultimately led to his demise. Thankfully, Samson repents, and he does not end up as a zero, but he ends up as a hero. And he says, God, if it's possible, would you use me one more time? Would you overwhelm me one more time with your presence? I know I messed up. And see, that's the beauty about the Bible. It's not only filled with people who are zeros, who didn't get it right. It's people who didn't get it right and also repented. And God began to turn that around and said, I know you didn't get it right at the beginning. I know you've had some mess ups, but you're not going to finish as a zero. You're going to finish as a hero. Amen. I know I'm thankful. I'm thankful I'm not finishing as a zero, amen. I'm going to finish this race. And we're going to do this by casting off every weight that so easily besets us, every sin. And so, as we can see, that Satan has skillfully designed a plan for each of these people. And he knew how to attack each and every one of these people. Just as he knows how to attack your life, he knows what will throw you off of your race. He knows what will get you distracted. So here we are. Not only are we to put off, but look at Romans 13:12. It says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We have to put on the armor. So we're going to cast off those weights that have been weighing us down. Whatever that weight is, you know what that weight is. You know what's been weighing you down, preventing you from becoming the man or woman of God that he has called you to be. Cast those weights off. Cast the sin off. But also we're going to put on the armor of light. What is the armor of light? It is Christ Jesus himself. It is the mind of Christ. You know, as a believer, you are a new creation, and all things are passed away. So therefore, you do not think as you used to think anymore. You do not act as you used to act, because you're putting on the armor of light. And so what is this armor? It means that you're in a war if you're putting on armor, right? It means that you're in a real fight, a real fight for your life. You put on the armor of light. So how do you do that? You clothe yourself with the mind of Christ. You clothe yourself with the Holy Spirit. You clothe yourself with the Word of God. You equip yourself with the Word of God in your life. Right? How many guys are spending time in the Word? As my wife said earlier, you're getting into the book of Hebrews. You're letting the book of Hebrews get into you. You're not just reading it as a story, but you're letting it impact your life. You're not just going through the pages, but you're allowing the Holy Spirit to change you. You're being clothed with the armor of light. So Paul, going back to Paul, immediately after telling us of all of his troubles and all of his trials and everything that he endured, the very next chapter he tells us how he overcame. This is encouraging. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, it says, "So, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. To keep me from becoming conceited, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me," get this, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So 3 things that stand out to me in this verse. First off, his grace is sufficient. Come on, you have some weights on you. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Cast those weights unto the Lord because he cares for you. In fact, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." His grace is sufficient in your weakness. Whenever you feel like you cannot bear this anymore, guess what? You can cast that thing unto the Lord and he cares for you. He cares for you. Whether that's a big weight or whether that's a small weight, you cast it all to the Lord. And not only does he care for you, but the other part of that verse says that his power is perfect in our weakness. You cast your cares upon the Lord because his power gives you the strength to endure. His power will help you finish the race. His power will help you finish as a hero and not a zero. It's by his power, and not by our might. It's not by our strength, but by his power. Amen. And then finally, continuing in that verse, "When I am weak, then he is strong." Sometimes we have to experience those weights and we experience that guilt of sin to realize our frail state as a human being, to realize that we cannot do it on our own, that we are weak and that we need his strength. Amen. It teaches us dependence. It teaches us how to rely on him. The other thing about this is that he says that whenever you are experiencing a temptation, to sin, is that he will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able to withstand. Let's look at it in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Guys, we are in a race, and there are weights that are weighing you down. There are sins that are weighing you down. And the Bible would say that we are to cast off those weights and cast off those sins and put on the armor of light. Clothe yourself with the presence of Jesus. Before you go on that job and you're surrounded by a bunch of heathens, before you go on that place where everybody mocks God and everybody's looking at pornography and everybody's doing crazy things, you got to clothe yourself with the armor of light. You've got to put on the armor of light and say, "I am walking in the light and I'm not walking in the darkness. I will finish this race. I'm not just running this race, but I'm running this race to finish this race." Amen. How many of you guys want to finish and finish strong? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to finish as a hero and not a zero. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the scriptures, God, that teach us to lay aside every weight, to lay aside every sin, and that you will not tempt us. You will not allow us to be tempted more than we are able to stand. And Lord, that we can cast all of our cares and all of our anxieties on you because you care for us. So we thank you that you are such a good, good Father, and that you love us with an unconditional love. And today, we decide to cast off those weights. Perhaps there's someone in this place that's listening to this, and you've been really weighed down. I don't know what it is, but there's something that's been weighing you down and preventing you from finishing the race. My encouragement to you today is to cast that thing off. Cast it to him. Give it to him. Give it to Jesus. He cares for you. I would ask that you would lay down that weight this morning. Surrender it to the Lordship of Jesus. You don't have to carry that weight anymore. You can lay it down because he cares for you. So if that's you in this place, would you stand to your feet? Or perhaps you're even dealing with the sin and you just need God to come and help you. Would you also stand, and we're just going to pray for you. We're just going to believe God for you. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you see all those who are standing in this place today. God, whether it be a weight that is preventing them from becoming the man or the woman of God that you've called them to be, Lord, we cast off those weights right now and we give them to you, Lord, because you care for us. So right now, I encourage you to name that weight. Name that weight that is weighing you down. Name it and say, God, I cast this to you. I give it to you. I don't want to carry this weight anymore. God, would you take it from me? I lay it down at your feet. Give me the strength to overcome. Help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we also pray, Lord, for those of us who are dealing with sin. God, that you will help them, oh God. Help them in their weakness. God, whenever we are weak, then you are strong. God, whenever we feel like we cannot overcome, God, you said, I have already overcome. So, Lord, we stand in that. We stand in the truth, in the fact that it is finished. God, everything that we need has been paid for through the cross of Jesus Christ. And so we stand in our freedom today in the name of Jesus. And we cast off those weights and we cast off those sin. And we arm ourselves with the armor of light. God, we put on Jesus. We put on the mind of Christ. We put on the Spirit of Christ in our lives. Satan cannot have any more footholds in our minds and in our thoughts and in our actions. We clothe ourselves with the mind of Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we just thank you, and we just give you all the praise and all the glory. And we thank you that we will finish as heroes and not zeros, oh Lord. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Just give the Lord some praise for what he's done in the house as you walk out those doors to walk free of every weight and sin. Learn the verse. Get into the Word of God. We love you. We'll see you this afternoon at 4:30. We're moving it up because of the time until 6:30. And then, of course, Wednesday at 6:30. Get some accountability. Grow in the Lord. We love you and see you guys soon.